This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later in the show, a look at the intimate realities of water. First, with the improving economy, companies have once again started looking to hire new employees. Many job seekers, especially younger professionals, feel they have a greater opportunity to find the job that best suits their needs. And a good work culture and a solid benefits package are often more important than salary in deciding whether or not they accept a job offer. Joining us to discuss how companies are responding to this to attract and retain talented employees are Gilman Partners executive recruiter Michelle Plessinger, strategic employee benefits services partner Jennifer Homer, and senior vice president of finance and operations with Possible Cincinnati, Jamie Grady. And you can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Michelle, Jennifer, and Jamie, thanks for being here this afternoon.
Thanks for having us.
And Michelle, what is the importance of benefits? Just how important are they in attracting and retaining employees?
Well, from our perspective, it certainly has. Things have changed. We're very busy. It's a candidate-driven market. Candidates are very savvy in terms of what benefits are out there. And benefits really mean more than, you know, health care and vacation time. But it's very key to recruiting and retaining talent. I think the earlier in the process when you're recruiting people that you talk about your full benefit package, including the softer benefits, is very important to getting those folks, whether they're early in their career or later in their career. It's very key.
Benefits can be a make or break thing in a job.
Absolutely.
Jennifer, is this all part of a newer trend that we're seeing? Michelle said it's something that we're starting to see more and more of. So is this a generational thing because younger workers are coming into the workplace and they're expecting something different?
Yeah, I think that benefits have always been important, but I think, you know, like she said, the shift has been even outside of the traditional health insurance, dental, and vision. I think people, because the economy, realize that employers can't spend sometimes the same amount of money they had historically on those type of benefits, but the expectation is to have access to a variety of benefits of kind of the traditional nature, but also some of those softer benefits, as she said. I think the younger people are looking for flexibility, unique benefits, flexible hours, you know, those type of things. And it really has to be laid out in front of them in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. And Jamie, how well do you think employers are picking up on this? I know Possible certainly has.
Possible is certainly picking up on it. I think we're seeing a lot of employers specifically in our industry pick up on it in advertising and marketing. We're all competing for the same talent. So it's really important to differentiate yourself by offering a very competitive benefits package, both hard and soft benefits. Mm-hmm.
So what has Possible done? You've just revised your benefits package, correct?
Correct, yes. Yeah. So our most recent change is we've done a few things. We've increased our personal day allotment, which is separate from our vacation allotment, from a week to 9 days, which is huge, and that's on top of the standard 2 weeks of vacation to start with. We have a significant holiday program that gives paid holidays throughout the year, and we close paid Christmas through New Year's. In addition to that, we've introduced a sabbatical policy. So after 5 years of service with the company, you get a 3-week sabbatical in addition to all your other time off that is paid for by the company. When you get to 10 years, it goes to 6 weeks, 15 back to 3, 20 to 6 weeks. So trying to encourage people to take time away from work and to really inspire and rejuvenate themselves. And then the other big thing that I think we did this year was we changed our parental leave policy a little bit because in today's world, a family unit can be a myriad of different things, very, very different.
Yes.
So previously, you'd have maternity leave. Well, the mother might not be the primary caregiver. There may not be a mother in a family situation. So we've adjusted that to distinguish between primary and secondary caregivers to allow each family unit to be able to address something unique to them. And then we've also introduced a work-back policy. So for that primary caregiver coming back to work, rather than coming straight back in 40 hours a week, 5 days a week, we allow them to come back 4 days a week, still get paid for 5 days a week for a period of 6 weeks to allow them to transition back into the workforce and to transition their family into used to having them back to work.
So how are the employees responding to this? How are they reacting to it?
When we made the announcement at the office, it was a round of applause and a lot of hoots and hollers. So the employees are very, very excited about what we're offering.
Now, have you seen anything so far, as far any evidence that this is helping you to retain
workers?
Yeah, I mean, our retention rate already is down for the start of the year, which has been incredible. But we just announced it January 1st, so it's really hard to tell if that's directly because of that, if it's just the time period. But I really do believe that we'll keep people, especially those people that are 3 to 4 years that are getting close to that sabbatical or that are thinking about having a family. They look at that and say, well, this is a place for me to stay because it's something I get very soon here and it works with my lifestyle.
Yeah, and I think it would have to be different too because you're in a creative field. I would imagine it's a little tougher to recruit and retain talent in that kind of a field.
It is. A lot of times we're looking after young talent. You know, millennial talent, and they tend to be people that want to hop unless they find something that's really, really catered towards them and provides them the flexibility. So in a creative market, it's really, really important. It's really tough to retain good, solid talent. And as a creative agency, your creative talent and all your talent really is the backbone of your organization. Without that, you're producing nothing for your clients.
I was going to add to that. I think regardless of industry, you know, the younger, earlier career people, it's about time, right? So how do I balance how much I'm working? I want to have the flexibility to go, you know, raise a family, have kids, or coach the soccer team, you know, give me time. And however, as a company, you give that, whether it's your paid time off, it's sabbaticals, whatever that is, that stuff matters a lot. I mean, that's typically part of our first conversation, maybe second conversation with candidates is, you know, if we're recruiting folks for our clients, it's what's their vacation time, any other sort of, you know, what's the holiday package, that sort of thing. So we're seeing that more and more, especially in the earlier career people. Well, matters a little bit less in the later career.
Right, well, exactly. And I think, you know, just listening to what Possible's doing, you know, a big part of my market are family-held businesses in conservative Cincinnati. So they were used to kind of the traditional benefits, and then you have companies like Possible, even though they're creative, it's really flowing through to everyone now. Millennials, people out in the job market, you know, you look on Twitter or social media and you see what Google's doing and all these companies, but they see that, they hear it, they read it in the Wall Street, and then they're out looking for jobs in the Cincinnati market. So employers are really having to take a hard look, you know, even if they are extremely conservative, on ways to start being able to attract some of these people to their companies as well.
Now, is this something where smaller companies might have an advantage in leveraging their ability to compete in the job market?
Yeah, I think they would have an advantage to that. You know, obviously some of them are working on smaller budgets, so then what they can do is, you know, maybe I can't do this over here on healthcare, but I can take some of these ideas from some of the larger employers to try and make my package look good and to be able to get those people in and stay at their companies as well. So I definitely think there's a giant shift, and you know, all three of us are seeing that in different areas.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. Michelle, is salary, though, is it still an important issue in the whole thing?
Yeah, as I said earlier, I mean, it's definitely a candidate-driven market, so which means if I'm gainfully employed somewhere but I'm looking at another job, I want to make more money for sure to make that move. But I think it's an important component to make the move. But I also think more and more candidates want to see the full package, right? Mm-hmm. So it's salary, it's bonus, it's benefits, it's other perks. But salary is key, especially to attract talent to your organization.
And Jamie, I don't know if you guys have used them, but the kind of hidden paycheck or, you know, kind of taking all these things in. So you have salary, but I've seen more and more employers trying to lay out kind of the economic value to the package, even for those things that aren't dollars. Mm-hmm. So you're giving them extra days coming back from having a child. And that matters. And so being able to show them on paper is a big deal. And I've seen more employers requesting those from us.
Yeah, as a finance guy at heart, I love to show that to people, the value of the benefits, right? So they think about it as a total compensation package. Compensation, salary is still incredibly important. Obviously, that's the basis of how you live. But the thing that I've seen is specifically with millennials, but anybody, is that they really want to know what their growth plan is. So they might be willing to leave an employer and take a smaller salary if they know what their plan is in advance of them and what their path is to get there. So that's something we're really focusing on this year, is outlining how do you grow through the organization, what steps you need to take to get to the next level, where's the levels that you can go, and providing them that guidance. They may be willing to take a step back in a lower position in order to get to where they want to go ultimately.
Well, how important, Jamie, in your view, how important are issues like lifestyle and quality of life and recruiting employees?
Oh, incredibly important, especially with the younger employees. As the ladies were saying, I mean, people want to be able to have the time to do things in their life with their families, be away from work, you have a flexible work schedule, be able to work from home if they need to. And so that's something with the programs that we've introduced, we're trying to provide to give people the opportunity to do that. Because in our industry too, it's a pretty fast-paced, high-speed industry, and there could be days or weeks where you're working a lot of hours and working late at night. So we want to be able to provide the ability to have the respite from that as well.
Michelle, any idea which industries have the highest turnover in the area and how they're working to retain people?
You know, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I think you know, we do a lot of work with privately held organizations, mostly in manufacturing. I think manufacturing tends to continue to have some turnover. You know, we're working with a client now who is offering just 2 weeks of vacation time, and we've given them data to say your direct competition is offering a better package overall, and so they're evaluating that. You know, but they've had some turnover. You know, as I think about all of this, I think we're talking about establishing your company culture, right? So what kind of culture do you want, and then how do you fit those benefits to really retain those people? But off the top of my head, I couldn't answer industry-wise what the turnover rate is for each.
Any idea who's doing the best at keeping their employees, just in general?
No, I mean, I think, you know, it's a combination of, you know, the culture that you have and being competitive with your culture, right? So not just saying, well, what are we paying? It's not just about salary, but it's really competing for talent, which is really tough right now to keep folks. But I think if you have a plan, you can show people, here's a career path, here's how we're going to help you get there, and we're going to pay you along the way and give you all these other perks. I think that's really important in keeping people. And the companies that are doing that and who are using these softer perks and that sort of thing to compete are going to be the people who win at the end, the companies who win at the end.
So maybe the message here is it's not really so important what industry you're in as what you're offering your employees.
And I think it comes to the competition you have in the marketplace, too. If you're in an industry that has heavy competition for talent in the marketplace, there's a saturation in the market. You obviously have to be even more competitive than an industry that might only have one or two key players here in Cincinnati, so the options are lower for the employees. And being in advertising, I mean, Cincinnati is what people don't realize is a very strong advertising community, obviously with Procter & Gamble and Kroger and GE headquartered here. And so we have a lot of competitors, you know, big, small, privately owned, publicly held, that we're competing with talent. So it's incredibly important for us to be aggressive and at the leading edge of both hard and soft benefits.
We will continue our conversation, and you can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Joining us to discuss how companies are using benefits to attract and retain talented employees are Gilman Partners executive recruiter Michelle Plessinger, strategic employee benefits services partner Jennifer Homer, and senior vice president of finance and operations with Possible Cincinnati, Jamie Grady. Again, you can join us 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Jennifer, what do employees really want when it comes to benefits? What are maybe the top one, two, three things they're looking for?
Yeah. The first thing is I think they want the access to a variety of benefits. So before we talk about really like what benefits, I think just having access, not expecting the employers to necessarily pay for them. And that could be as simple as being able to buy some life insurance or additional life insurance or short-term disability, or you hear of the kind of Aflac type products. And it's very hard to obtain those type of coverages on an individual basis. So if I'm at an employer and I have a sampling of things that are available to me, then I can at least have easy access to get those. The funny thing is, if you took a survey, people are always going to say medical insurance, dental insurance, vision. You know, in my mind, short-term disability, long-term disability, which is their paycheck or their ability to earn an income, and then if they are off work, you know, support their lifestyle is really important. But I think companies are struggling, especially if they're in a millennial type of workforce, to show that value, you know, because of that generation coming up. In fact, I was just telling these two before we started, one of the carriers was in, and they have a whole a library of videos. So if you're doing an enrollment meeting to show short-term disability, long-term disability, life insurance, just geared to the millennials. And they actually are really, really funny. But a completely different way that you're going to roll out those benefits than if I have a population of people that are, you know, have more families, middle age, and understand the value of that. You know, we don't do, I personally don't do 401k, but Northwestern Mutual does. It's the same thing, getting them to understand, hey, this is a great value, especially if there's a match on that, to start young. And it doesn't, it's just not as popular anymore in their minds, but to me it's one of the most important. I think that's education from employers and stuff, and I don't know if you agree with that or not, but
yeah
I was gonna say that, you know, we've been talking about all of these other softer benefits, right? But at the end of the day, we still have, you know, a lot of cancer saying, well, what's the cost of healthcare? And I'm gonna build my spreadsheet and compare, you know, my salary, my bonus, healthcare costs, vision, you know, all of those pieces, so that, you know, am I moving to a better situation, or is it going to cost me money, you know, to take this new job? So, you know, we haven't really talked about that cost of healthcare, the 401k piece. That stuff still absolutely is critical and
so
important.
The traditional things are still
absolutely
And you know, healthcare costs. You know, I mean, you can't open the paper without reading about it. But really, what's happened, and you see in Cincinnati with a lot of smaller employers, you know, if any of them are heading into what they call community rated, you know, or healthcare reform rates where there's no more underwriting, some of those rates are just astronomical. And what we were used to seeing is what a family is paying for some of those smaller employers is really large. And so it absolutely has to be laid out to them in making that job. Mm-hmm. You know, some of our larger employers still have flexibility, but, you know, they go up and up and up and people see it. And when they really sit down and take a look at it, it is a big number that they need to consider. And selecting a job.
Yeah, and when it comes to the offering health care benefits, has the Affordable Care Act changed the way employers look at that particular benefit?
I think so. You know, one thing we've seen, a lot of small employers, I think when it first came out, they thought, well, I'll just drop my benefits. We'll let everyone go out and buy individual policies. And we have a lot of small employers as well as large, and we have not really seen that happen as much. But again, those that, you know, have been kind of put up against the wall and have been forced to plans that are ACA-based rates, those costs are very hard. And they have had to take a harder look at how they're going to share that with the employees, with also being able to retain them at the same time.
513-419-7100 to join us. And Paul in Mount Auburn's on the line. Hi, Paul.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
I'm Paul Sohi, and I have just to comment on this. The millennium job seekers are hardwired to social media. Mm-hmm. So even though these companies may be thinking that it is, you know, healthcare, vision, dental, and all of these benefits are necessary to retain them, but the millennium job seekers are essentially branding themselves. They're very connected to the social media, and the number one priority on a lot of surveys is they want to have a better environment of workplace. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it shouldn't be the traditional boss and, you know, people working worker bees under that. It's an equal status with the boss, who boss would be essentially a coworker. So environment is a very high on their plan to, you know, get the benefit. So that's kind of a benefit they're looking for.
I have to agree.
Thank you, Paul, for the call.
Yeah, I agree with Paul, and you know, specifically in our agency, I mean, we look at a flat hierarchy. You know, a great idea can come from the most junior level employee to the most senior level employee. Obviously, you still need manager, you know, employee relationships in order to be able to guide, mentor, and keep the business running. But it really is a flat hierarchy, and that's just one piece of the environment. The physical environment itself is also incredibly important to millennials, and what we've done is we create a very open atmosphere. It breeds communication, interaction. We're putting a bunch of toys in the office pretty soon, and I don't even think my staff knows this yet, but some basketball hoops and some other fun things to play with, and a lot of just spaces to bring people together to gather. We want people to feel like they're not that they're coming to do a job, but they're coming to work as a place they want to be.
Jamie, how important do you think it is for employees to know that if they come into a company, one of the benefits is that they'll have an opportunity to advance in that company?
No, it's incredibly important. Most employees, and specifically millennials, don't want to come in and be stagnant. They actually probably have a more aggressive view of how quickly they can jump through an organization than people of older generations, where the belief was, you know, you do your time, you have to, you know, spend years and years and years. Millennials want to be able to advance every year. They want to change and grow every year.
So when companies are placing help wanted ads, Jennifer, should they be placing the benefits front and center? Do they normally do that?
I don't see that as front and center with ads, and you may be able to answer that more so. I mean, I usually am coming in either we will meet with some new hires and try and work with our employer clients to explain the benefits on the back end, but I don't see it as much on the ad side for employers.
I think at the very front end, they're probably not talking about specific benefits, but in an ad, they'll talk about culture, and they'll want people to know
what the company culture is, and they'll describe that in position description that's posted out there in social media and on the internet.
I think it's broader than the ad too. It's about starting and driving the conversation before you even have an ad posted, so that people know your name, know your employment brand. Starting that conversation on social media, getting your name out in the community, doing events so people know who you are as an employer, what your benefits are before they're even posting for a job.
And should companies ask the employees what kind of benefits they want, or is that just asking for trouble maybe?
I don't think it's asking for trouble. We do have several employers who try to do surveys, over a period of time to see what they want and trying to address those issues. Because, like we're seeing today, it's just becoming a broader and broader and broader topic from all the traditional, and to really understand it. And I think depending on what your workforce is, you're going to get a whole different set of opinions on that. And if you have a workforce that goes everywhere from a millennial to people that have worked their whole careers there, again, you're going to have a complete different set of expectations, and you're going to have to kind of work somewhere between.
And if an organization views its benefits plan as stagnant, that's silly. You have to constantly be evolving. That's how Possible got to where we got to, is we do employee satisfaction surveys fairly regularly and have taken feedback through the past few surveys on that to build the benefits plan we have. So maybe not asking employees when they come in what they want, but asking our existing employees, what else can we do about this place to make it a better place to work, to make you even happier being here?
So what's your advice for companies on how they can get creative with their benefits?
To add on to that, more and more employers are doing employee surveys. They are talking about their employer brand. And getting their feedback is critical to just being competitive and attracting talent. Again, there's a talent shortage, and so there's a lot of competition. And just being creative about it and getting feedback, I think, is important.
And, I've been talking kind of from the perspective of me dealing with employer groups, but we're a company of 24, kind of in a traditional, health insurance, life insurance, conservative environment. And we've really just tried to do small things. So when I'm in talking to smaller employers, and in Cincinnati, smaller to me is, maybe 200 and under lives, some of them been around a long time. It could be baby steps. We started bringing in healthy foods into our cafeteria. We still have, the bagels and the donuts that show up, but we get really, really busy at year end, like crazy. Kind of like you were saying, you have those periods of time where everyone's just dying, and then you want them to have some relief. So it meant a lot to the employees. So we're just trying to slowly incorporate some of these things that I call, they're really cool, like possibles, Duane.
And sometimes it can be the small things.
The small things, yeah. We give them, some half day every other Friday in the summer so they can spend time with their families or maybe leave for a long weekend together. So I think, for some employers, it's going to be baby steps, because that's all they're able to do with what they've got.
I think my advice would be, one, know your employee base and the demographic of the employee that you're going after. Two, be creative. Know what they want. Be creative to service that. And three, don't underestimate the small things either. They have huge, huge impact.
Yeah. Let's talk with Carolyn in Covington. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. I just have a question about how freelancing is playing into the acquisition of talent for local companies. I know that it's a growing population, especially among millennials. They have a different set of needs and expectations from employers. How have you seen that change things?
Yeah, and in my business specifically, freelance is a huge thing, and we do see a lot more millennials doing that because it provides them the freedom and flexibility to work when they want to work and not work when they don't want to work, which just goes back to the what we see with millennials that even want full-time employment. From a benefits standpoint, we, you know, we, a lot of our soft benefits, we offer the same soft benefits to the freelance staff that we use as we do to full-time employees. But when you get to the hard benefits, that's something that's reserved specifically for full-time and employees.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think my son worked for two companies where they allowed him to do freelance work on the side, which was just a huge benefit to him because during his off hours, he could make extra income and it gave him that extra freedom. Michelle, Jennifer, and Jamie, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you.
Gilman Partners Executive Recruiter Michelle Plessinger, Strategic Employee Benefits Services Partner Jennifer Homer, and Senior Vice President of Finance and Operations with Possible Cincinnati, Jamie Grady. And coming up, we'll talk with UC professors who produced a documentary about the struggle to find clean water by people living in Nairobi. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.